Hello from Minsk in Belarus. I'm Georg Milanov. I am reporting on the free and fair elections that have just concluded. Challenger Svetlana Tsikhanouskaya, who is filled with stupid ideas and who smells like cheese left in the sun for 4 days, have 8%. Only 8%, despite all the exit polling you may have heard. President Alexander Lukashenko, our noble leader since 1994, who is very strong and can wrestle bears and carries an automatic weapon at all times, he has 112% of the vote, and of course this means he's winner. This is joyful news for the people of Belarus, because now we don't have to change the stationery or any road signs. So expensive. Coming up, the life and times of Alexander Lukashenko, a 5-hour drama that you will like and you will watch. But first, questionable material with Jack and Brian. You're listening to Questionable Material, produced in New York by Jack Helmuth and Brian Sack. QMPodcast.com. This is episode number 44. Hello.
Hello.
Man, that just blew my ears out. Oh, I see why you're in the... That was crazy. Okay, I'm an idiot.
Yep.
I had the input level for you at like super maximum. So when you rang through, it like blew out my eardrums. That was hurtful. Look.
That's great. The guy who mocks me for being a technological retard blows his ears out through technology. This is great.
First of all, that's a terrible word to use. You're offensive.
Technology. There's nothing wrong with technology. There's nothing wrong with technological or technology. Either of those words is fine.
Maybe you're going to.
Even in 2020.
Turn that down a little bit. All right. There we go. That's better. That's better. It's still black rectangle, but that's fine. I'm used to it now. Just going to get used to it.
Realize. Cool.
Yeah.
This is why I've been doing the podcast with no clothes for over a month.
I knew something sounded different.
Yeah. I sound free.
Well, hello.
Hello, Brian Sash.
Hi, Jack.
Hi.
How is everything going?
Oh, man, you are really good at casual conversation. You're very human.
What are you up to these days?
Well, here's the thing. My family has split apart. I am with my daughter in my home.
All right.
And my wife and my son have gone to Rhode Island for a safe family vacation. My daughter and I will be joining my wife and my son in a few days.
Why Rhode Island?
My wife likes it. There are beaches and they have outstanding COVID numbers.
Like their governor didn't muck it all up and get lots of people killed and then say, hey, didn't I do a great job?
That's exactly right. Their governor specifically decided not to murder anyone in nursing homes.
Really? Interesting. Well, that's a different approach.
I know we wanted to sort of get a taste of what that life was like for when we get older.
Yeah. No, it'd be cool to live in a state where the governor doesn't murder old people.
Yeah. That's what I'm looking forward to. So, you know, look, I'm 45. I would like to sort of do the nursing home starting at around 48.
Really? Okay. And you want to do it in a state that doesn't require people to murder people in the nursing home.
Right. I'm going to spend my last 40 years there. I sort of feel like, you know, I would like to get my money's worth. And not die.
You want to retire early.
Well, isn't that the dream?
I guess if you have the nest egg.
What are you up to, Brian?
Well, I sold the house we built.
Yay, congratulations.
And the people who bought it are buying it sight unseen, which is kind of weird, but maybe a sign of how dramatic the desire to escape New York City is.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Now, for people who don't know, Brian actually, with a friend, built a house. They got a little plot of land in Long Island, yep, in sort of the nicer area of Long Island. And they built a house and just sold it.
Yeah.
What's so funny is that because we do so many of these bits where you're supposedly an expert on, you know, ferret mating or whatever, that I'm sure no one is like, yeah, right, he built a house in Long Island, when it's actually, this is one of those true stories.
It's, yeah, I was thinking about that the other day, about 20% of the stuff we say is actually legit true.
Yep.
But the number of people who might actually believe that is probably few and far between.
Your book on ferret mating comes out when?
That comes out in three Tuesdays from today.
Three Tuesdays from, so everyone mark your calendar from whenever you're listening to this. It'll be out three Tuesdays from the day you're listening. And what's it called again?
Ferret Mating for Beginners.
And what are some of your like hot tips? I mean, how do you get two ferrets to fall in love?
Well, you know, obviously red wine helps. Mm-hmm. And all mm-hmm. the traditional oysters, mm-hmm. soft music, soft tones, talking in soft tones to the lady ferret.
But they're zipping around like little ferrets. How do you get them to actually slow down and do the deed?
Well, they found that there's an instrumental album by Yo-Yo Ma of just, you know, ferret tunes. It's called Ferret Love.
And it's okay, just, I'm writing that down.
Yeah, it's a CD of songs, or right now a digital file of songs that really get ferrets into the mood. It slows them down. It convinces them to maybe sit up next to a table and eat oysters and drink some red wine.
Wow. And Yo-Yo Ma made this.
Yo-Yo Ma, yeah. Not to be confused with Yo Mama.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, he's more of a rapper than a person who plays string instruments.
Okay, yeah. So tell me about Yo-Yo Mama. Yo-Yo Mama.
Yo-Yo Mama?
Yeah.
Yo-Yo Mama is from Queens and is not classically trained. Pretty much, I mean, just kind of learned how to shout insults and on his own. Didn't attend any prestigious academies because there really aren't any for shouting.
Well, he attended R-Train University.
R-Train University, yeah, which is kind of... the premier school for shouting, the R Train, and the 456, and then, you know, he's just he's a professional shoutiste, as they say, in the
that's so cool.
Shouting industry.
Wow, this is really interesting.
Yeah.
What are some other aside from music? What are some other, you know, if you need those ferrets to mate, and this mm-hmm. is again from your book that's coming out, Ferret Mating for Beginners. What are some other ways to really get those ferrets to mate? You know, if you have some prospective buyers coming over and you need some babies.
Weirdly enough, they get a tremendous erotic response from photos of Lena Dunham. I don't know why. Obviously,
I don't know why either.
It doesn't work in the human kingdom, but for ferrets, there's something that they find incredibly appealing about that. So we've noticed in our studies that exist is that ferret mating increases dramatically when the ferrets are exposed to photos of Lena Dunham.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, those poor ferrets.
But no, they can't. But with the sound off, because when they hear the voice, they get very agitated and will actually start digging.
Well, this is where we need a grant, I think, for this research.
I've been trying so hard. I've been sending out letters for asking for grants, and I've got zero response. There's no, it's almost like the post office isn't delivering my request for money.
That's strange. Who are you making the request to? What does your envelope say?
It's called the scatter method. So I get an old fashioned phone book from the 70s, late 70s, and I'll just open it up. I'll put my finger down and I'll find a name and an address. And I just toss off a letter saying I'm a ferretologist looking for a grant, help a brother out. And then I wait and I include a self-addressed stamped envelope.
With an 18-cent stamp?
Yeah. From 1972. Cause I figure if I'm sending it to an address from the 70s, then the postage rate would be around the 70s. So, but yeah, getting zero response.
Well, I mean, that makes sense. The post office doesn't care about turning a profit or doing its job well. So that, right. I mean, I guess that would make sense. It probably works, Brian. I don't know what the problem is.
I don't know either. All I know is I am dying for this grant. I need to get these ferrets understood and so we can dramatically increase the ferret population.
Now, I'm confused because at the beginning of this section of our show, we told two stories, one about you selling a home in Long Island that you built, the other about ferrets, and one of the two was not true. And damn it, I can't remember which is true. So, Brian, school is starting.
Oh, is it? I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. Just had like a 3-hour Zoom call last night.
Oh, what was the result of that?
The school is offering the options. You can do fully online. You can do hybrid. And if you do hybrid, it's maybe 1 or 2 days a week of coming into the school. They're having these different cohorts. So like A can come in on Monday and B on Tuesday. And just a whole lot of weird logistics, isn't it?
Yep.
What did your school do? Just hand you like the pro, here you go. Here's the fall.
Yeah.
That's what they did?
No, we have choices as well. We're going to, do 100% online learning for our son. And, you know, obviously our daughter being a girl is, it's not particularly important if she's educated or not.
Right.
Our daughter's just going to go to college to get her MRS degree. Mm-hmm. So it's, that doesn't really matter. I'm not even sure what we're doing with her.
She's just basically looking in the market for a husband.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're taking her to finishing school, mm-hmm. Working on her abs.
Right.
This year, doing leg stretching exercises, mm-hmm. Long legs that we feel are going to get her further in the world. So, that's what our focus is going to be on our daughter. Mm-hmm. Start doing anything to maybe get her to start developing earlier, mm-hmm. so we can sort of be done with it.
Hormone therapy or something.
Hormone therapy, maybe see if we can get her to menstruate by 8 years old.
Mm-hmm. Have them jump up and down.
Does that work?
But for like hours.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause a friend of mine did it. She did it for a long period and then she just started bleeding.
But she may have been injured.
Yeah, no, it's after she fell back into the coffee table, which I mistakenly thought was menstruation, but it's actually just what they call a laceration.
Oh, yeah. I say the word, but I swear to God, I don't know what it is.
Yeah. I just assume it was menstruating on the outside.
Yeah. Which means, okay, well, anyway, so, those are two different approaches we're taking for our kids.
Well, good. Yeah. We're going to do the hybrid. We'd like them to go into the school and enjoy a little bit of interacting with peers, whatever peers are there, because since it's optional, I'm sure 90% of the parents are going to freak out.
Your children have no peers in my book.
That's right. They're peerless.
That's right. But aren't you going to do something similar with your younger one where you're just going to try and marry him off?
I want to marry. Yeah. I've told them to start, considering wearing wigs and I give them lots of anime and I say, can you look like these ladies? Mm-hmm. Cause nerds dig that stuff.
Absolutely. How are his, breasts coming in?
Right now, no, they're just, dish sponges. So they look awkward. They're large rectangle shaped. I mean, obviously it comes in handy when I ask him to wash the car, but not particularly good for attracting 14-year-old
wealthy men.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's so funny that we're both taking the same approach.
Just marry the sooner these kids are in college or married off, the sooner we can get on with our lives.
Absolutely.
Had this massive interruption, so this kid comes out, I'm dealing with him. We've got to deal with him for like 18 years. I just hit 16 with him a few days ago.
Yep.
Can't believe I have a 16-year-old. And then 2 days later, we're at the DMV getting his driver's permit.
I brought up school because I wanted to, I wanted to give you an opportunity to sort of talk about your, the private school that you're opening up this fall.
Oh,
Yeah, that you're, the one you're definitely opening up. So, what's the name of your school called, and why did you choose now as a time to start a new private school?
Well, obviously, people are very upset about the state of education right now. A lot of families don't have the time to sit there and homeschool their kids while they go to work. I mean, it just doesn't work. It's very chaotic right now.
Yes,
there needs to be that separation between school and family that the founding fathers intended.
Yes.
So what I did was I created a school to, yeah, and it's going to be like, it's the old fashioned kind of school. Remember the schoolhouses where you'd have the whole range of kids in the schoolhouse.
K through 12 in one tiny little building.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So here, so I've already got a shed, a garden shed, and I'm calling that Brian's schoolhouse. And I painted it red on the outside, and inside I put up a little blackboard.
You'll do second grade math for maybe a bunch of 10th graders?
Sure. They excel at that. They really get, you'll be like 2 + 2, and then it'll be a kid in the back like 4, 4. They get really excited.
Wow.
It's called Brian's Learn Place. Because I thought it'd be cool to have an acronym like BLP. To me, it looks like kind of a cool BLP, Brian's Learn Place.
You should have done, it'd be great if you could have done Brian's Learn Matriculation Center or something. So you could have gotten BLM out of it.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that. Huh?
Because everyone's hashtagging BLM, and all of a sudden you probably would have had 100,000 applicants.
Maybe I'll do
that. Who accidentally give you money, not realizing that you stand for the destruction of the nuclear family.
Huh. I wish I had thought of that. Yeah, I could have kind of glommed onto that whole charade.
I know. But okay, so Brian's Learning Place, BLP.
Yep, BLP, Brian's Learning Place. And we do learning is what that's actually the tagline. We do learning. And, okay. I just wanted to be, I want parents to be able to plunk their kids in front of the computer, log on to Brian's Learning Place, and not have to worry about them for the entire school day.
Okay.
Because I'm there. Yeah, I will teach them stuff. I'll show them videos. We'll have discussions. We'll have round tables. We do role playing. We do war gaming. We do everything you would normally do in a school.
Yeah, some of that sounds school-like.
I unionized.
No, what?
Yeah, I unionized, so I can't even be fired if I'm not good.
What? That's so smart.
Yeah, so basically if people are like, your learning place is terrible, you're not qualified, I'll be like, hey. And I just look at the camera because that's where they are. And I'll just be, hey, that's how it is. Winkity wink.
Wow.
Yeah. Brian's Learning Place.
Brian's Learning Place. What? I'd like to get into some of those things that you say you deal with the students. What sort of curriculum can a parent expect who's sending their kid to Brian's Learning Place?
You know, I call it the.
I must have misheard you. What do you call it?
I call it the. Who knows curriculum?
Oh, that's so cool.
Because I kind of wake up and it's like, what am I going to teach? Who knows? And then as soon as the light turns on the laptop, that is my, what I'm broadcasting my school out to all the students, I just kind of wing it. So one day I might be in a math mood. Next day I might want to do history. Next day I might want to do cooking or civics or social studies or socialist studies. Or gardening or carpentry. I mean, it's anything goes.
Wow.
So the first day of school was an argument with my wife that was like 2 hours. So I guess the kids would, in that case, probably learn a little bit about relationship dynamics, who's in charge, who's not in charge, why Polish women are just stronger than me and things like that. And then other times they might learn math.
Well, what was the argument about, and how many students have witnessed this?
It's embarrassing because it's about my academic credentials.
Oh no!
So she is of the mindset that I have no right to call myself Professor Brian Dr. Emeritus, and I am of the mindset that people can call themselves whatever they want. He or she can be a him or her or a she or he or whatever. I can be black if I want to. I can be Asian. I can do whatever I want. And so if I'm a doctor emeritus, so be it. And I'm here to teach. And she disagreed with me for a solid 128 minutes based on the recording. so many megabytes of her yelling at me. And just, it's a disagreement. But I think it was good for the kids to see for a couple of reasons. One, they learn to be skeptical. So if somebody says, hey, I'm a doctor, I've got a doctorate, you can raise an eyebrow and be like, really? Where did you go to school? So that kind of skepticism. And also to see how to argue nicely with somebody. You know, you might disagree with them about, but at the end of the day, you love each other, and you love each other so much that you engage in acts of love to show, unfortunately, the school that you guys have a really tight relationship and are still attracted to one another, which is something you don't necessarily want your K through 11s to see. 12's kind of on the fence about that. So it's a work in progress.
So would I be right in saying that you guys maybe had some makeup sex in front of in Brian's learning place?
That is what the Parent Teacher Association is calling it. Yes.
Is there a beef now between that association and your school?
There's a certain number of parents who believe that that conduct on camera during school hours is unprofessional and possibly illegal. I disagree.
It must be some lonely, angry people.
I think the quarantine has made people crazy. You know, this lockdown, the uncertainty, just the chaos of it all, the mask wearing, everything. I think it's really knocked people for a loop. So I forgive them. You wouldn't know it from day two of school, where it was more like a 4-hour just cuss out, me screaming at the laptop, you ingrates. But, you know, by day 5, we were doing math.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Okay. Very, very good. I assume there has to be a good lineup of substitute teachers.
Yeah.
How do you get substitute teachers and, you know, where do you find them and what do they provide?
I've tried a couple of different recruitment methods.
Okay.
I've tried Tinder.
Oh gosh. Okay.
And I just swipe right on everybody.
So have you gotten any responses?
I got one. So I did my usual introduction. It says you guys have connected, and I'll say, hi, do you teach? ?
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
And in this particular case, I got yes. And I said, fantastic. What do you teach? And they said BDSM. So of course I'm new to academia.
So I know science, the SM is science and math. What's the BD?
I don't know. And I thought maybe biology and then D, I don't know, Dianetics, L. Ron Hubbard stuff. I don't know. But I said, yes. I said, awesome. Can you do Thursday online? And she said, yes. And I said, fantastic. I will patch you in to the school and just teach away.
Okay, how'd class go that day? What was the response?
Depends who you talk to. The PTA is really pissed again. The students, they found it fascinating. You could see the wonder in their eyes. Mm-hmm. They're just, because they had they seen a full leather suit? No. These red balls you hold in your mouth, what are these for? Are you eating them? Is this some kind of... So they were really, you know, cute. What are these paddles? What did this person do wrong? Why is he being spanked? Why are you pouring hot wax? Is this about like the Inquisition or something? Like, is this a history segment? Like, what is going on here?
Right.
So they pretty much, I mean, they were really engaged until the cum shot.
Well, well, thank God you have tenure, Brian. So, Brian, earlier in the show, you said that your son just turned 16 years old. Was it this week?
Yes.
Good grief. Hey, well, happy birthday to him.
Isn't that crazy? 60. I have a 16-year-old. What happened?
I don't know, man. But 16 is – that's to me, that's a brand new frontier of parenting. So, you know, I was wondering, what sort of changes are you going to make to parenting him to now treating him like a man?
I'll probably do what my father did.
Oh, good. Which is what?
When I turned 16, he blindfolded me, put me in the back of his Oldsmobile.
Yep.
Delta 88. No seatbelts at the time.
Sure.
They had seatbelts, but my dad cut them out. And then he drove and I just, it was, every time I said, "Dad, what's going on?" He'd be like, "Shut up." Like, okay. Took me out into the woods, and I couldn't tell you if I was in New Hampshire or Maine or Vermont or what. I just knew it was a lot of green. Got out of the car. He walked me. I'm still blindfolded. He walks me, and then he pulls off the blindfold and he says, "Voila." And that laid out in front of me was a table, and on it was a cutlass, a shamrock, a highball glass.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And one of those pens that does multiple colors.
Yeah. Yeah.
The red, blue, black, green.
Yeah. Pens. Classic.
Yeah. Yeah. And he said, "There you go. You're 16. And he got back in his car, Delta 88 Oldsmobile, and drove away.
What were you supposed to do with all that crap on the table?
That's what I was shouting at him as he's driving away. His windows were up. He was blasting music, Stars on 45. And I sat there and I stared like, maybe this is a puzzle. Maybe this is a clue. You know, he wants me. Okay, I'm 16. He wants me to show that I've grown. I'm a man now. So I'm looking, okay, so cutlass, right? A shamrock, a highball glass, and a pen that does multiple colors. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, like, okay, how would these work together? What is this puzzle here? And I couldn't for the life of me figure it out. And then it started getting dark and I started getting worried.
Yeah, of course.
So I took the cutlass and the highball glass and the pen and the shamrock, put the shamrock in my pocket. And I just started walking, kind of following what I thought were his tire tracks. And it turned out to be tracks not from my father's Delta 88, but from a truck.
Oh.
So, and I wound up in a logging operation. And it was a big facility in the middle of the forest, was logging, and there were a bunch of loggers there.
Yeah.
And I asked them for help. They said, "What happened?" I said, "Well, my dad brought me out here. I'm 16. And he brought me out here to teach me to be a man." And they were like, "Oh, really?" And then they just kind of looked at each other. And so the highball glass they filled with, I guess, scotch.
Okay.
And it got me good and liquored up on that.
Uh-huh.
And then they presented me with a contract to be there, I forget what they called. I forget the forester term. It's a forester term. But it was something like Love Monkey. And they had me sign it in multiple colors, which I guess is legally binding. If you do like blue or black, you're not completely legally bound. But if you sign your name in blue, green, red, and black, it really shows your tremendous commitment.
It shows like adult agency.
Yeah. So it was a 2-year contract.
Oh God almighty.
So I lived in the, and you know, the cutlass would come in handy on the occasions when I was tied up. And, you know, I just left the cutlass leaning against the wall. And then after they were done, I would just kind of go over and back up into the cutlass and rub my wrist bindings on it and eventually break free. So, I mean, 2 years there, by the time I emerged, I was a man.
Your dad didn't come looking for you like the next morning?
No. Well, I mean, he did. But of course, I had wandered way far off to this logging operation. He went back, he found the table, and saw that I had taken everything. He was completely unaware I'd become a logger's love monkey. For the men. Well,
just a logger, a logging team.
A logging team love monkey. You know, he was, you know, and he felt, did he feel bad for the 2 years I was gone? Absolutely.
Aww.
You know, and he said, when I saw, I finally saw him and walked through the door. I mean, he was like, oh my God, you're alive. And I said, yeah, you know, I'm here. And then I, you know, I cried and I took a shower for 2.5 days. I sat in the shower, curled up in a ball, just, you know, running the water. I didn't even care if it was hot or cold. I just wanted to be clean, finally clean.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, you're a man now.
I'm a man now, but to this day, if I see somebody in any kind of a plaid shirt, any kind of like checker plaid thing, I freak out. If I see a chainsaw, I scream. I'm terrified of trees.
Yeah. Well, I remember this. I remember when we worked together, it was disconcerting. I will say this because you and I shared an office, and yeah, one day I came in not knowing any of this. I came in wearing a plaid, sort of like a green and red sort of plaid
flannel. Yeah.
Flannel shirt. I'm glad you remember it. And you gave yourself to me.
Yeah.
It's not what I wanted. And it was very, so I never wore that shirt again.
Thank God. Yeah. Cause that's, you can't say no to a flannel shirt.
Wow. Oh,
well, those days are behind me.
Back to your son. You said you plan to do the same to your boy.
You know, now that I think about it, I might just take him for an ice cream. That was questionable material. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast. Make sure to review the podcast. Make sure to visit qmpodcast.com for episodes, show notes, and bonus material.